The Bush administration says user fees or else. Why aren't higher aviation fuel taxes enough? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is one of the more provocative guests we have on this show from time to time. Robert Poole is the Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation, which is a free market think tank which often weighs in on transportation issues and has taken the somewhat controversial position, at least among general aviation aircraft owners, of being a proponent of a user fee system of some sort. And with the sausage making its way through the factory on Capitol Hill this week, we thought it would be a good time to talk to Bob about one particular aspect of the user fee debate. Bob, thanks very much for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Glad to be back, Paul.
One of the things I've observed about the user fee debate is that there seems to be a big misunderstanding on both sides about what the other side sees in this.
Yes.
From the general aviation side, this has been portrayed as a kind of boogeyman, a slippery slope, and frankly, it probably is in the form proposed. And on the FAA side, the FAA seems to have taken the writings and thoughts over the years from free market groups such as the Reason Foundation and come up with a system that cherry picks some aspects that look good from the revenue generation side without including any of the safeguards that might make this system palatable to general aviation. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think that's a slight overstatement, but they certainly haven't emphasized the role of a directly funded, directly priced system in changing the corporate culture, making it more directly accountable to users, which is what I think is the most important aspect of it. Now, to the FAA's credit, they did put in some kind of a user oversight body that would go along with their proposal for shifting the airlines to user fees, putting in some kind of a fee for business jets, and using that revenue stream from the user fees to as a source for revenue bonds to pay for major pieces of the next-gen system. Ironically, the Senate committee, the Senate Commerce Committee, that Senator Rockefeller and former Senator Lott, they actually went somewhat further than that. Instead of just an advisory body of aviation stakeholders to decide on the investments from, to advise on the investments, Rockefeller and Lott put in a board of stakeholders that could actually make the decisions on which investments to get funded.
Now,
that's a whole different story, and the administration has not emphasized that, and I fault them for that.
Well, now, this is the part I think that's scary to a lot of general aviation advocates, and that is that the fear is that the FAA will come up with a plan which installs a board on which the airlines have a majority vote, and if they don't, some of the senators and congressmen who are close to the airlines, if I can push it that far, will influence or try to influence the system in such a way that it results that way. Is that a legitimate concern?
And it's a legitimate thing to be concerned about and worried about, but I think it's something that the GA groups have really not stepped up to the plate, and they've simply said no, forever no to user fees instead of, well, if you're going to do user fees, here's the kind of board that we think would protect us and give us, you know, adequate representation. And, you know, we have a board like that in Canada, for NAV Canada, that I've talked about before, that has the airlines, I think, have 4 out of 15 seats on the NAV Canada board. And my proposals are comparable to that. That would have, I think, the versions that I've published have said, called for 3 general aviation seats, 4 airline seats, and then half a dozen others representing airports and controllers and other players. So that the important point is not whether there's more airline seats than GA seats. Because, I mean, clearly speaking, in terms of use of the air traffic control system, GA itself always says, and correctly so, that airlines use it more than GA does. So it's only fair that they have somewhat more representation. The important point is that the airlines not have a majority, that they're able to ram things down everyone else's throat. And responsible proposals, such as in Canada, such as what I proposed, clearly have a minority of seats for airlines, such that the broad aviation community is represented, and fairly so.
This sounds like the classic marriage counselor thing that happens, where the counselor quickly determines that neither of you is hearing what the other one is saying.
Right. Right. I mean, and that's the way the debate has gone. I mean, the amazing charges and countercharges and PR campaigns by, on the one hand, NBAA and AOPA primarily, and the ATA, the airline group, on the other, you know, spending millions and millions of dollars shooting at each other, and each one accusing the other of you know, out to destroy aviation as we know it. I think completely counterproductive. Well, it's been a huge waste of everyone's time and money.
Well, aside from having Bob Poole on every once in a while to tell us what he's really saying, what do you think is the answer to this debate, or is it just going to wander back and forth between those two extremes?
I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. On the other hand, I look at Europe, and there's talk there, although we all know the GA has a smaller part of the total activity in Europe than it is here. But I hasten to point out that the business jet community, including fractionals, is growing by leaps and bounds in Europe and is becoming an important factor there. And there seems to be more progress in Europe toward getting all of aviation to realize that they have a stake in a next-generation type of system that has more capacity and won't constrain and curtail the growth of flying, which is the situation that they're facing in Europe. It's the situation we're facing in America, too. Our system simply, it's so labor-intensive that it's really not scalable upwards to match a doubling of traffic growth over the next 20 years or so. And that's why we really have to shift to a much more high-tech GPS-based as opposed to radar-based system that can space planes safely closer together. That's an enormous transformation of what air traffic control historically has been. It's a very high-risk project, as the Inspector General of DOT keeps pointing out, and GAO says the same thing. And so, in my view, that calls for a different kind of organization than the FAA itself to actually implement and operate that new system. And that's really where the attention should be focused, and it should be the attention of GA as well as the airlines, not over this pissing contest over who pays what fraction.
Well, Bob, we need to take a break for a moment. We'll be back in a moment with Bob Poole, Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Poole, Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation. Bob, I have to ask you, when we talk about the user fee debate from the general aviation perspective, one of the things that occurs to me is that in all the compromises that have been put forth by the general aviation side, which generally come down to just raise our taxes, but please, no user fees.
Right, right.
This actually, for a lot of recreational flyers, a lot of small-time private flyers, results in a greater inequity. These folks are paying for big pieces of the air traffic control system that they never use through their aviation fuel taxes.
Well, Paul, that's a slightly misleading way of putting it, though. I mean, if where do the monies that the aviation fuel tax, that people pay when they're gassing up or refueling their planes, where does that go? It goes into the aviation trust fund. The two main things that the trust fund provides for are airport grants under the AIP, the Airport Improvement Program, and operating the air traffic control system. If you look at the dollar amount that GA, total dollar amount that GA contributes, it's on the order of $300 or $400 million a year. Just the AIP grants that go to airports without any airline service, is about $1 billion a year. So just if you just think about the fuel GA fuel tax as supporting the airport improvement program, it doesn't begin to cover what GA is getting out of it. If you ignore air traffic control altogether.
All right. Well, what I was getting at is that you would think that some recreational pilots would see that maybe they do better under a user fee system, but that kind of turns that whole argument on its head. I was thinking of it as an argument for user fees from the standpoint of recreational and private pilots, but actually
yes. I mean, if you're actually paying for just what you use, many GA pilots would come out ahead if they're just doing flights in and out of, particularly if they're using non-powered airports and flying VFR the vast majority of the time. But the other thing, I mean, a lot of the scary propaganda that I read and you read and your listeners read in the GA publications and websites implies that somebody would be proposing transaction-based fees. Every time you contact air traffic control on the radio, there'd be a charge. Every time you get a weather briefing, there'd be a charge. Nobody in their right mind is proposing that. The most advanced system that has lots of GA in it is Canada's. And in Canada's, it's a flat annual fee for access to the system. That's a couple hundred dollars. That's what GA, single engine piston planes in particular, pay. And it's on a sliding scale proportional to the gross weight of the aircraft.
All right, now let's talk about that particular model in the realm of the weekend or recreational or private flyer.
Yeah.
Is there any level at which you can fly an airplane in Canada without paying that annual fee?
You know, that's a very good question, Paul. I don't recall. I would have to go back and check.
Bob, actually, I was just able to find that on the website here while we're talking, and it looks as if under NAV Canada's most recent charge schedule for aircraft under 2 metric tons, which would be, 4,400 pounds, it's $69 per year flat rate, no matter how or where you fly.
It's been so long since I actually looked into the structure of their fees. And when I did, it was looking mostly at turboprops and business jets.
Bob, you touched a moment ago on something, and that it has to do with the technology being employed in Europe versus in the United States.
Right.
If you've got the time, I'd like to have you back tomorrow and talk briefly about that, because I think that's a very important thing. Even though we're past the comment period on the NPRM for ADS-B,
right.
I don't think the debate is over by any means.
It's not over by a long shot. I'd be happy to talk about that.
All right, Bob, I appreciate it. We'll see you back tomorrow. Bob Poole is the Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation. You can find out more about them at reason.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.